This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick.
I've said it before. Alabama has been at a crossroads. We have been at crossroads in the past. And unfortunately, we have usually taken the wrong fork. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you took the right road.
Democrat Doug Jones shocked Alabama and shocked the country with a victory over Republican Roy Moore last night. Roy Moore hasn't conceded the Senate race just yet, but now this contest is fodder for Democrats wondering if they have a new model to win in red places, and for Republicans in the era of the Trump GOP, who nominated and stuck with a candidate so toxic he couldn't win in a state giving him every possible conservative advantage. Pat Duggins is news director for Alabama Public Radio. He's been with us every step of the way in this race. Pat, thanks for coming back, as always.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Well, a political shocker by any measure. What's the reaction in Alabama to Democrat Doug Jones winning this race?
Well, if you looked at the images coming from the Doug Jones camp, you had, you know, very, very happy African-American voters. And if you looked at the Roy Moore camp, you had very despondent old voters. So right now, we're just kind of waiting for the state to certify the vote, which could take maybe a week or so. And we'll just kind of see from there.
Pat, you said on this program a couple of weeks ago, and you were quoting somebody there in Alabama, that if Roy Moore were to win the Senate race, it would prove that Alabamans can't be embarrassed. That didn't happen.
No, it didn't. And it's an interesting coalition that Doug Jones was able to bring together to make this happen, because if he just went just plain old-fashioned Democrat, it's very unlikely he would have beat Roy Moore. However, he was able to put together not only a huge African-American turnout, estimates upwards of 40% of the African-American electorate did turn out, which is kind of like hearkening back to when Barack Obama was running for president. And then you also had disaffected Republicans, a lot of those quote-unquote soccer moms in suburban areas around Birmingham and around Mobile, who simply just could not hold their nose anymore, considering all of the allegations of sexual abuse, child molestation against Roy Moore. And if you just look at the vote totals, somebody on the GOP side flipped. In fact, a lot of people on the GOP side flipped.
Well, let's talk about Roy Moore and the next couple of weeks. Roy Moore did not concede this race last night. He says more votes will be counted. John Merrill, who's the Secretary of State in Alabama, said it's highly unlikely the results will change, but Roy Moore says this isn't over.
Well, he didn't give up. However, there's several things that could happen. Under Alabama law, if the vote tally between the two top candidates is within 0.5%, there's an automatic recount. It looks as though Jones won by at least three times that, so an automatic recount may not happen. However, it is possible that Roy Moore could ask for an expensive recount that observers say he can't afford. However, the Federal Elections Commission just came out with a recent report saying that most of the money for Roy Moore's campaign, which was like maybe 1/5 of what Doug Jones had, was coming from outside. So ironically, you've got Roy Moore and Steve Bannon saying, we don't want those Yankee outsiders, blah, 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 you know, coming into Alabama and telling us what to do. And yet most of the monetary support from Roy Moore seemed to come from outside. If he can magically afford a recount, it'll be very interesting to trace the money and find out where those bucks came from.
And that would be reportable, right? You'd be able to trace that.
It would seem so.
Let's talk about Doug Jones and the campaign he ran, Pat Duggins. Did Doug Jones present a platform to Alabamans that you think they really got behind? Or was he relying on the history, the comments, and the public profile of Roy Moore, who was so well known to Alabamans for so long?
He was criticized for not being specific. As I think I've mentioned before, one of his big things that he hangs his hat on is the fact that 40 years after the 1963 16th Street Baptist Church bombings, he as a U.S. attorney was able to convict two members of the Ku Klux Klan for that attack, which made him, there was some Doug Jones signs out there saying, vote Doug Jones, Democrat, civil rights champion. It was a really, really big deal. But getting back to the criticism that Doug Jones was not specific on what he wanted to do, is possible what he was trying to do was avoid dog whistle issues that would send Republicans, oh no, I can't believe he said that, I have to go off and vote for Roy Moore. He already is pro-choice. That's obvious. He's also, for example, in favor of DACA, the Dreamers bill that allows immigrant children a chance to stay in the United States. I mean, you know, Roy Moore was absolutely against DACA. He likes tax reform, but he's not necessarily going to give a blank check to the Republicans on their tax reform plan. He's pro-Obamacare. A lot of people in Alabama are anti-Obamacare. He likes the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. He says he's a hunter. However, he says, okay, listen, there are certain limits that we could put in and make it work that that way. If you go back to the Heller decision that was written by Antonin Scalia, even he said, look, everybody's got the right to bear arms, but there are certain limitations out there. It's like the freedom of speech. You can't, you know, you can say whatever you want to in the United States, but you can't libel someone and you can't go into a theater and yell fire. So that, even though Doug Jones is in favor of gun rights, again, limitations are okay with him. And perhaps the biggest thing in Alabama is he's pro-LGBT, and Roy Moore was not. So there's a lot of stuff that Doug Jones liked that Roy Moore didn't like, and that may be why Jones was not talking an awful lot about what he stood for, because he didn't want to upset Republicans in Alabama.
Pat Duggan's news director for Alabama Public Radio. Pat, you've been with us since the beginning of this race. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Well, lots of factors went into Doug Jones' victory in Alabama last night. Suburban voters went for him, educated white voters defected away from Roy Moore, but African American voters turned out in huge numbers. Van Newkirk is a staff writer at The Atlantic. He covers politics and policy, and he's here to talk about the impact of black voters in this Alabama race. Van Newkirk, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, when you look across the landscape of Doug Jones' victory here in Alabama and the people who came out for him, what do you see?
I think this is one of the most remarkable turnout schemes and things that have happened in recent election history. You saw the Black Belt that goes through Montgomery and the south central portion of the state, with counties that had mostly or high populations of black voters, they turned out the most. So you saw turnout margins that hit almost 75% of 2016 general election levels in places like Greene County, in places like Dallas County, where Selma is. And those voters voted overwhelmingly for Jones.
So if African-American voters in Alabama, Van Newkirk, really helped push Doug Jones over the line, and there are lots of indications that they did, what do you attribute that to? Do you attribute it to Doug Jones? Do you attribute it to turnout efforts from Democrats? Or, look, is it as simple as a Republican candidate, Roy Moore, who expressed a fondness for the way Alabama was as far back as the Civil War when there was still slavery, and at times has said he could do without the 13th Amendment, the amendment that got rid of slavery?
Well, I would say it's two things. A lot of it is the latter. Black people in Alabama know who Roy Moore is. They have known who Roy Moore is. He's a state official. He was the state chief justice, and they've known his positions on things about the amendments, on statements on slavery. He said things similar to this in the past, and they know who he is. And I think the second thing is the grassroots mobilization effort that was specifically aimed and geared against certain voter suppression laws and policies. It was extensive. It was well-funded. The local NAACP chapters, they signed up people with felonies. They got people out to DMVs that may have been far away. They organized group van rides. So the actual get out the vote looks similar to what you would see in an Obama election year. And that was something that wasn't seen in 2016 totally, but was seen in this special election.
And what do you think was the primary motivation behind that? Do you think that it was anti-Roy Moore or pro-Doug Jones when it came down to it?
I'd say it's probably a bit of both. I do think the anti-Roy Moore sentiment is what won overall in Alabama. I think it's what kept some potential Moore voters home and what got lots of people out to the polls. It certainly energized lots of folks. But I do think Doug Jones, he is not a person who is unknown in the black community either. And to say that he is, I think, understates some of the work that black people have done on his behalf, some of the work that people have done to get him out and get him exposed in the black community. So people know who Doug Jones is. He prosecuted the Klansmen who bombed the church in Birmingham. And it was part name recognition, part Jones being an unusually well-situated Democratic candidate in Alabama, and part just anti-Roy Moore sentiment.
Well, Van, listen to Doug Jones here from his acceptance speech last night.
Take this opportunity in light of this election and go ahead and fund that SHIP program before I get up there.
That's Doug Jones calling on Congress to get the Children's Health Insurance Program reauthorized. Does that show that Doug Jones is going to Washington with the agenda of low-income and minority voters at the front of his mind, Van?
I think so. And there's been some concern. I think you saw it on Twitter and among some Republican strategists that Jones may tack to the center or to the right in order to represent some of the Republicans in the state. But I do think he is talking about low-income economic issues. But, you know, this is a time when these things are going to be what the things on the radar. So you have the tax reform. You have Republicans signaling they're going to pivot towards welfare reform. And I think we can all guess at what that means. But I think Jones is already positioning himself to play the part against those things, to help fight against welfare reform, to think about CHIP, and to hold the line against further restrictions on Medicaid and Medicare.
Well, before I let you go, Van Newkirk of The Atlantic, let's step back. Let's step way back for a second and just reflect for me, if you would, on how remarkable it is that Republicans in 2017 just lost a Senate seat in Alabama.
Yeah, you want to discount some of it because of just the extraordinary weight of the accusations against Roy Moore and what happened in the last month or two of this election. But the fact that Republicans in 2017, when they dominate the state, top to bottom, and it's one of the deepest single-party state hegemonies in the country, them losing that Senate seat is a blow. And so I think it's something that's going to send Republicans back to the drawing board. It's going to call into question whether this alignment of Trumpism and certain elements of the far right can actually succeed in races. And it's going to give, I think, Democrats, progressive people to the left of Republicans, is going to energize them and give them a blueprint for winning races in places where they frankly abandoned lots of black voters, lots of people in the South, lots of people throughout the country who weren't considered competitive before. So now I think it changes the math going into 2018 and going on.
Van Newkirk with The Atlantic. Van, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
I am feeling great, just enthusiastic, empowered, and this is the first time I felt I'm proud to be an Alabamian.
You're listening there to Bernard Simelton. He's head of the Alabama chapter of the NAACP. They organized a huge mobilization effort to get black voters out in the state.
The thing that gave me some hope was when I went to my, traditional voting place on yesterday morning, I saw he's probably twice as many African Americans showing up to vote as I had seen there previously, and I have worked that poll. And so that gave me hope. That gave me inspiration that there is something in the air. African Americans have received the message.
And Bernard Simelton says the message from black voters is clear.
African Americans are getting tired of getting the short end of the stick. We have an administration now that does not care about the African-American and the poor community, does not care about the minority community. And so, you can beat a dog only so long. And so we get tired of being beat and getting the short end of the stick. And so I think the message was clear that it was a referendum against Donald Trump and his policies of racism and sexism. The people have spoken, and they are sick and tired of what the Trump administration is trying to sell to African Americans.
That's Bernard Simelton, head of the Alabama chapter of the NAACP. We always want to hear from you. What's your reaction to the Alabama Senate race? We've been following it for so very long. 8778 MyTake is the number. You can always tweet us at The Takeaway.